don't know where that's coming from, but I got Brother Keith's anointing on me today. Thankful for our assistant pastor and the leadership he brings. And he was on his way in. He said, you know what? I'm going to turn around. So that's what type of person he is. And he knows I'm picking at him and I love him. So I'll be reading from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John today. It'll be verses 1 through 12. And here shortly, if you're making your way to your Bible, or the scriptures will be on the screen. I'll read the verses in its entirety, and we'll go from there. Everybody that has it, say amen. For those that don't, we'll give you 2 seconds. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Everyone say, I go a fishing. They saith unto him, we also go with thee. They went forward and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And my key verse today will be verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? This setting takes place in the very last chapter of the book before Acts. We find 7 of the 12 disciples gathered together, being led by Peter on a fishing trip, when they come across the resurrected Christ at the shores of the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. This is where my study will pick up. We will evaluate the response and actions of all those involved in the fishing trip, also known as the miraculous draught of fish. In the chapter just before chapter 21, the tomb that held Jesus is found empty, with the huge stone that covered the tomb rolled over to the side. After finding the tomb empty, Mary Magdalene runs frantically to find Simon, Peter, and John and tell them that Jesus is not there. So Jesus is on the cross. He's crucified. He spends 3 days in the tomb, and Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb to look for Jesus. The tomb is opened and the grave is empty. She runs back and tells Peter and John that the tomb is empty. Then they run to the tomb looking for Jesus. They find the empty tomb also. And they leave the tomb and Mary stays. As Mary stays, Jesus appears to her at the tomb. Mary thinks that Jesus is the gardener because she doesn't recognize him. A little while later, after Mary sees Jesus for the first time in his body, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples, all but Thomas. In John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22, this is a reaccounting of Jesus revealing himself to the disciples. I want to lay some groundwork and foundation for the story that takes place in John chapter 21, using John chapter 20. Starting in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Remember the thoughts that the Lord has for us are for thoughts of peace. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. He showed him, here's my nail-scarred hands, here's my pierced side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. My title today is Come and Dine. In John chapter 21, verse 1, and I'll be teaching exegetically where I'll read one verse and then we'll expound on the one verse at a time till we make it through all 12 verses. In verse 1, we see after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on the wise showed he himself. So after the crucifixion, like we said earlier, Jesus is taken from the cross and brought to the tomb, and in 3 days, Mary Magdalene finds him empty in the tomb. Jesus is no longer there. Jesus appears to her at the tomb, and shortly thereafter, he appears to all of the disciples except for Thomas. So that's the second appearance of Jesus, as he appears to all of the disciples except for Thomas. A week later, he appears for the third time, and this time it's all of the disciples and Thomas. And we remember the story where they called him Doubting Thomas, and he needed to actually see the nail-pierced hands and the pierced side of him. So in verse 2, they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two others of his disciples. This group here is known as the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, the sons of thunder. So these people were the inner circle of Jesus while Jesus was in his earthly ministry. The 3.5 years that Jesus ministered, Peter, James, and John were the closest to him. They were the ones that stayed by his side throughout his ministry. And they knew what it was like to be in the presence of Jesus, and they knew who he was. They had close relationship with him. They were also in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where Jesus asked and prayed that the cup be passed for the resurrection or for the crucifixion. They were with him at that time as he prayed these great droplets of blood, Peter, James, and John. They were with Jesus as he was betrayed by Judas. When Judas and the soldiers came and they took the Christ, they were with him. Peter cut one of the soldiers' ears off at that time. So this was a group of people that were very close to Jesus. In verse 3, we see that Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They saith unto him, we also go with thee. It was 7 of them that were there. So Simon Peter says, I go a-fishing. And the rest of the 6 were very quick to say, I go with thee. They went forth and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Jesus called these men as he found them by the shore 3.5 years before this instance. He told them to follow him and that he would make them fishers of men. Remember, we're laying foundation for the study. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we see, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is 3.5 years before this fishing event, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other 2 brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. This is the inner circle of Jesus, and they're being called by Jesus. As soon as he sees them on the Sea of Galilee, he says, I will make thee fishers of men. And at that time, they dropped what they were doing and started following the Lord. Peter, who would deliver the message on the day of Pentecost, is 2 or 3 weeks without the resurrected Jesus being in his presence. And he finds himself in a place where he says, I go a-fishing. He had had enough of living for God at that time. He was in a place of confusion. He was in a place where he said, I'm not going to Tuesday prayer service. I'm not going to Wednesday prayer service. I'm going fishing. I go fishing. And how quick the other disciples were to follow him as their leader. Leaders have a big impact on the group that they are leading. How quick they were to say, yes, I'll go with thee. Who would turn down a fishing trip? There we go. So who would turn down a fishing trip? And I've been in places in my life where I might have been between jobs, and I went a fishing. I had nothing else to do with my time, so I went a fishing. Peter had reverted back to what he knew before being called to the Lord. He was a fisherman by trade before he received the call to follow after Jesus. Today we would call it backsliding is what Peter had did at that time. If Jesus is not physically with them, they could not continue in kingdom work. Their calling was to be fishers of men, not fishermen. In the verse, they toiled all night, not catching one fish. Our efforts are in vain when we are not in the will of the Lord. There is no blessing outside of his will. This group of men relied on what their own two hands could supply instead of asking the Lord to supply their every need. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. At any given point, they could have said, Jesus, will you bless us with a bounty of fish? They decided to toil all night with their own hands. In John chapter 21, picking up on verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They knew not that it was Jesus when the morning time had come. They fished all night until morning, possibly a 12-hour fishing trip. In biblical days, night was 12 hours and morning was 12 hours. I know firsthand the frustration of fishing all day and not catching anything. Fishing is something that takes a toll on your body, whether you're catching or not. It's physically exhausting. They had fished all night, caught nothing. And this is a group of men who were skilled fishermen. They were fishermen before they were called to the Lord. They were skilled at what they did. On top of what they must have been going through spiritually at the time, by not seeing Jesus and trying to have understanding of what was happening there between the crucifixion, they bury him, Jesus comes back to life, he reveals himself to them, and he's in and out of being in their presence because his body's being glorified. But these guys were skilled fishermen. They fish all night. They're going through spiritual things, and now it's a bust. We've went back to try to do the thing that we knew, and we haven't caught anything all night. Jesus is standing at the shore of the water, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. How many times in our lives, and any time I'm studying the Bible and I see that Jesus has asked an answer, I pay close attention. I almost get a chuckle every time because he knows the answer and there's a motive behind it. So you ask him, do you have any fish? Did y'all catch anything today? How are y'all doing? And the answer obviously is no, we didn't catch anything. He's requiring them to evaluate the process and what's happened. He's requiring them to think about last night. What happened? We didn't catch anything. The answer was no, that they had nothing. Moving on to verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And as the story goes, Jesus tells them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and the net becomes so full of fish that the men cannot pull the net up. They went from 0 to 1,000 in a moment of obedience. They were obedient to the word of Christ. Cast thy net on the right side. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. We can be making sacrifices in our lives without obeying the word. We can be making sacrifices in our lives without obeying the word of God. The highest form of sacrifice is obedience. We can be making the sacrifice to come to church, the sacrifice to come to prayer, the sacrifice to worship, but still not be in obedience to them that have the rule over us or be in obedience to the word or the will of God. Throughout the Bible, Jesus always knows his audience, and he teaches in allegory and illustrations that they will understand based on what they know. To the former, he speaks to the harvest and sowing and reaping. To the sailor, it's the rudder of the ship and its storms. And to the fisherman, it's nets and equating men to fish. So he knows his audience, and whenever he speaks to his audience, he speaks in a way that they can understand basic concepts and with spiritual context behind them. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 4, it says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? It is the will of God for all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, the full knowledge of the truth. It is his will." Remember that with this verse. Skipping down to verse 7. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." The author of the gospel, the Apostle John, would also write the book of Revelation in a great act of humbling himself. He never mentions his name. He will never mention his name as he's writing John. He will always refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loveth. The Gospel of John was written some 40 years after the church was formed on the day of Pentecost. And this is a great attribute of Christian character, as we see a man that has lived 40 years for Christ put himself behind who Jesus is and who Jesus was, never even making mention of his name, the apostle whom Jesus loved. I hope to be that someday, the apostle who Jesus loved. The Apostle John, when you see him, he had his head on the breast of Jesus. What a strange, strange thing to do. In this day and age, if I went and laid my head on pastor's chest during service, you know, it's weird. But he loved the Lord so much that he was willing to go through whatever that was. It is funny. It would seem super weird if we did that today. But that's what he did. He loved Jesus so much, he was like, "I don't care what people say. I'm going to put my head on his chest." So the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord on the shore, he put his clothes on and immediately cast himself into the water, going after Jesus. You know you're a sold out to the kingdom in Jesus when you drop everything and seek after the Lord, no matter what is going on around you. Now, Peter found himself where the Lord just blessed him. He's a fisherman. The net is so full of fish. Fish are boiling at the water. And when he finds out that it's Jesus at the shore, he gets dressed. He puts on his coat and comes towards Jesus. He casts himself into the water after the Lord. He felt his calling again on his life. He knew that that was Jesus. And cast himself into the water and swam to where the Lord was, knowing that the blessing is in the presence of Jesus. In John chapter 21, verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes." A cubit is the length from your elbow to the tip of your finger. So 200 cubits would have been 100 yards. That's how far they were away, or there round about. They were 100 yards from the shore, in a boat, and the net was attached to the boat. The other disciples were not willing to drop everything and cast themselves into the sea, but continued in the little ship and sailed to the shore. Like I said, they were something like 100 yards away. So they were not willing to drop what they had in their nets like Peter was, and they find themselves coming to the shore. In John chapter 21, verse 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. As the disciples approached the shore with great excitement, no doubt about the bounty of fish that they were just blessed with, and Jesus at the shore, they would have seen the smoke of a fire in the still morning air, as Jesus already had prepared fish and bread for them that they did not catch, that they did not clean, bread that they did not need. They did nothing in the preparation but came towards the Lord. The blessing is always in the presence coming from his hands. We will never be able to reproduce with our own efforts what the Lord is trying to bless us with. As they saw Jesus and as they came to him, He had fish sandwiches at the shore. These guys were fishing all night and couldn't catch one fish. Jesus says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they do that, and their bounty's full. And when they come to the shore, it wasn't even their fish. Jesus already had a fire. I've been camping recently, and even with modern-day technology, do you know how hard it is to light a fire and to cook fish and to cook bread at a campsite? We're talking about, I don't know how he did it, but he had to do something to have it lit. But the blessing was in the hands of Jesus. Jesus had already prepared what they needed before they even went fishing. We will never be able to reproduce with our own efforts. There will never be a time where when we try with our own hands without asking God to bless it, for us to be able to reproduce what God has in store for us in our lives. The last time we see Peter at a fire, now, the Apostle John tells Peter, that's the Lord. Peter puts on his coat, jumps in the water, and swims after Jesus. When he gets to the shore, there's a fire, and Jesus is cooking fish and bread. The last time we saw Peter at a fire is in John chapter 18, verse 18. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. This is where Peter denied Christ three times. Here he finds himself again by the fire. This time, Peter's with Christ. And no doubt in my mind that he had to think, you know, the last time I'd warmed myself near a fire, I denied the Lord. I denied Jesus out of fear, out of oppression, out of confusion, out of whatever was going on in Peter's mind. He had denied the Christ. And he finds himself near a fire with fish and with bread. Christ never mentions, Peter, you denied me. He doesn't bring up his past. He wants to feed him. He wants to bless him. But he doesn't bring up his past and say, I told you you were going to deny me. I told you when the rooster crowed three times that you were going to deny me as your Lord. It's not brought up. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. There are times in our life where we all have done something that wouldn't have been satisfying to the Lord. Here we see Peter come boldly into the presence of the Lord, and we must come boldly to receive grace and to receive mercy. We can't disengage and remain hidden from the Lord, for he knows all things. When the Lord asks us questions, he knows the answer at all times. We must come boldly before the Lord. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I love thee. To receive mercy and grace. Mercy and grace is something that everyone can receive, but they must come boldly. Peter received grace and mercy at the shore of where he was first called. It all came back full circle to the very place he saw the Lord. His life was coming full circle. 3.5 years prior, that's where the Lord had called him, and he dropped his nets at that time, and he started following the Lord. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. This is a verse that we read earlier. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. In verse 10, John chapter 21, verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Jesus wants to provide your every need and still bless you abundantly. After he fed them a meal they didn't catch, under a fire they did not light, with bread they didn't bake, he blessed them. He blessed them after the fact. He continued to bless them. He sustained them and fed them and then let them receive the blessing that he gave them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. The Lord is making preparation that we have not prepared with our own hands for us. He has blessings for us. He has vineyards that we didn't plant. He has houses that we didn't build. It's the blessing of being a child of the King. In verse 11 of John, continuing on, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. As Peter walks towards the net to the bounty which the Lord gave them, in the beginning of the chapter, the group of disciples toiled all night and didn't catch anything. Peter tried so hard, he fished himself naked. For it says that when he saw the Lord, he was naked and put on his coat and swam towards the Lord. He tried everything he could in his own will, aside from asking the Lord to bless it. When he realized that it was Jesus, he put on his coat and ran towards him. But the lesson being taught here is not about fish, it's about obedience. Peter went back to throwing the net with his hands. When the Lord had called him to throw the net with his mouth, carnal Peter had to throw the net with his hands to sustain himself. Peter's calling was to be a fisher of men. He was called to preach the word. He was called to throw the net with his mouth and catch men with the word of God. The Lord is showing Peter in this group that when he shows you where to cast the net, it will not break as you pull it in, no matter how many are in the net. As Peter stepped to Solomon's porch on the day of Pentecost and preached the message of salvation, he cast his net with his mouth and the word of God, and he caught 3,000 souls that day, fishing on the right side of the boat, being in the will of the Lord, operating in his calling where the Lord would have him, being in the will of the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14, 40 and 42, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, he casted his net with his mouth, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. From 153 fish in a net to 3,000 souls, operating in the will of the Lord. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." In the key verse, John chapter 21 and 12, Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine, come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. They had been in his presence. They had been in his presence as he cooked for them, as he desired to have fellowship with them. No one asked, "Who is this?" Eight verses before, he's standing at the shore and no one knows who he is. 2 to 3 weeks removed from being in the presence of the disciples, it's amazing how when we take one step away from God, how drastic and how fast things happen in our lives, to where Jesus was unrecognizable to men that were in his presence, that he revealed himself to these men, not once, not twice. This is the third time the resurrected Christ has revealed himself to these men and visually said, "I am not dead." And these men couldn't recognize Jesus at the shore, 100 yards away. 100 yards away. What a place we find ourselves in when we take one step away from Jesus. And no matter how close you are, and no matter what message you preached, on what day you preached, or how many souls you've seen won to the Lord, when we do take steps away from him, he will become unrecognizable to us. All the time, still looking from the shore, wondering, when will we make the turn back? The greatest desire of the Lord is to have his children come and dine with him. Many times in the Bible, the provision of food is made by God. Manna, the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the miraculous draft of fishes, all in an effort for God to have relationship with his children. Jesus took time before the crucifixion to break bread with his disciples. Knowing he had the cross in front of him, he did not let that affect his spirit to the point where he isolated himself from his earthly family. All the time, he broke bread with them. What was important, he wanted to fellowship and continues to want to fellowship with us and break bread and have relationship with us. As I close, I want to close with a story, another story in the Old Testament, and use what we see in the 21st chapter of John, where Jesus is wanting to provide and the food comes from his hand. And with the title, Come and Dine, I want to talk about Mephibosheth. And in the second chapter of Samuel, in the second book of Samuel, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, we see a child that was a child of Saul. It was a grandchild of Saul. It was a child of Jonathan, David's friend. And Saul and Jonathan had just died. And at the time of their death, at the time, if you were related to the king and the king fell and the king died, the other king that killed the king would come looking for the family and just take care of the family, not to have any uprisings in the future. So this is where this verse picks up. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. That's when Saul and Jonathan were killed in Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell, and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth happened to be part of a family. He was 5 years old. He had no input in what happened to him other than that he was taken up by a nurse. The nurse dropped him, and he became lame. He was unable to walk. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll drop down and read 10 and 11. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now this is David telling them years down the road to bring Mephibosheth, who was part of the other kingdom, part of Saul's kingdom. He's telling them that now you'll have servants. You'll have servants that are going to till your land and they're going to work for you. And in verse 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord, the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Going into this week, it's Thanksgiving weekend. On Thursday, hopefully, we'll be dining with family members that we haven't seen in some time that we possibly could have had issue with. Maybe they're not living the way that we would like for them to live. Maybe we haven't had a relationship with them that would be right. And what happened here with Mephibosheth is he was lame. And the king said, come and dine at the king's table. And as Mephibosheth was brought to the king's table, he was placed underneath the table, and his lameness was hidden. The lameness of Mephibosheth was hidden. The things that he had done, the things that afflicted him in his life, were no longer revealed. And as he sat at the table with the king, he was with equals. And as we sit down with our family this week, and we profess to be Christians, we need to forget about spiritual lameness. We need to forget about anything in times past. And we need to break bread with our family and enjoy this time with them. And let them feel what it's like to eat at the master's table and to see God and to see Jesus in us. And when we do make it to heaven and we get to sup with the master and sit at the king's table, all of our trials and all of our tribulations will be forgotten. We will all be the same. All of our lameness and all of our scars that we've taken to heaven with us will no longer be revealed. If we could stand to our feet and close in just a small moment of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word that went forth. Dear Lord, I ask that it be planted deep within our hearts. I ask that you allow us to enjoy our families this time, in this time of great Thanksgiving. that we be a witness to them, that they see Jesus in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Service will resume in 15 minutes.